It's called the Tenebrae, the service of shadows. You'll not want to miss that special service. When I became your pastor, one of the first things I said to you is that I will lead you to practice an historic, rooted, orthodox Christian faith with an evangelical passion. This service tonight is a reflection of that commitment. For centuries, the church, and this has nothing to do with my sermon, this is just warm up. For centuries, the church, it's a short one tonight, I promise. For centuries, the church has been rehearsing the last week of Jesus' life in this world. On Maundy Thursday, this is the night the church remembers Jesus' last meal with his disciples. And one of the reasons that the church began to wash one another's feet as an act of worship is precisely because in John's gospel, during that meal, Jesus washes his disciples' feet. And that's the story we gather around tonight. If you have your Bibles and you want to turn with me to John chapter 13, verse 1, you're more than welcome to do so. I'm just going to read this story one more time. We rehearsed part of it earlier in the litany, but I want you to hear it again from John's Gospel, chapter 13, beginning at verse 1. Now, before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that he was tied around him. After he had washed their feet and put on his robe, returned to the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example that you also should do as I have done to you." Let's pray. All those years ago, we remember how you prepared your followers for your crucifixion. We remember, Lord Jesus Christ, this particular story. We gather around it not just to learn things perhaps we've never heard before, but to actually engage this story, perhaps like few of us have before. We ask you to transform us in these moments we share together. I'm thankful, Father, for those who have dared come to a service that they've never been to before and to enter into this new way of gathering on Maundy Thursday night. I pray that your Spirit's blessing would rest upon us in these moments we share together. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. So I waited, 23 years of my pastoral career to offer my first foot washing service. The truth, and this is just my third one. It's sort of new to me, too. The truth is, while I love this story about Jesus washing his disciples' feet, I've always been just a little bit squeamish about actually creating space for Christians to wash one another's feet as an act of worship. It's just a little weird. Just today, Sharla came up to me at the school. You all laugh before I even tell the story. You know, okay. Sharla came up to me at school and in her own Sharla fashion said how disgusted she was by the thought of washing someone else's feet. Now, I told her in my defense that this is not my idea. I wasn't the first one to come up with this. it is a rather peculiar practice. My first foot washing experience was in Rome during our sabbatical 2 years ago. And during our 6 weeks in Rome, we made St. Paul's Within the Walls Episcopal Church our home church. It was an English-speaking church that held the unique status of being the first non-Catholic church to exist within the ancient walls of Rome. Father Austin, their young rector from Texas, was kind and hospitable to us, and we wanted to worship in a community that offered a weekly table and an open table, so we landed there. And it's where we journeyed through Lent and Holy Week in 2014. This included a Maundy Thursday foot washing service. So when the invitation for the washing of feet was offered that night, first time we've ever been to a foot washing service, my family got in line. I'm not sure the order exactly, Abby, Lily, Jane, and then myself, or some such order, which meant that our family would basically wash one another's feet, but I was going to have to wash the person's feet behind me. Okay, and I didn't, of course, know who that person was going to be. And honestly, I would have rather washed the stranger's feet than have my feet washed by a stranger if I had to choose one of those things. Either way, it's a little weird. It's a little weird. So a young woman lined up behind me, never saw her before, will never see her again, total stranger. And I sat down, took off my socks and shoes in a chair, much like this one, and I allowed a perfect stranger to wash my feet. And it was, as I said, it's kind of weird. I'm not going to lie. And here's the thing about it. She was really thorough. I mean, she wasn't doing it halfway. I was like, you know, pour the water over, you know, damp it with a towel, dampen it with a towel, and I'll get up and go, and we're good. No. She was washing my feet, all right? She didn't scrub them, but she took her time. She was thorough. And here's what began to happen. As this strange person was washing my feet thoroughly, it started to become a little sacramental. This thorough engagement in serving me. From a complete stranger. Sacramental, that word, I love it. You know I use it a lot. A sacrament is nothing more than a visible sign of invisible grace. In that moment, her act of thoroughly washing my feet, not just going through the motions, but sort of tenderly washing my feet, became this sacramental moment, this visible sign of invisible grace. It was the sign of God's loving attention to me. Jesus' words ring in my ear, for I have set you as an example. I've offered you a template that you also should do as I have done to you. Now, of course, Jesus isn't just talking about the washing of feet. I mean, we Christians, especially we evangelicals, we're quick to say, well, that's not really about the washing of feet. He doesn't really want us to wash one another's feet. He wants us to serve the world. And I think there's something true about that. But then that's one way of getting out of having to do this. He didn't really mean that we'd literally have to wash one another's feet. And I think there's some truth there. What I think, though, is that there's more going on here than Jesus is saying, I've done this to you, now you do this to one another. I think that the foot washing is a foreshadowing of all that Jesus was about to do on the cross. Jesus' ultimate act of service was about to be rendered in his excruciating death. This is why Jesus tells Peter that Peter, would have to receive Jesus' washing if he wanted to participate with Jesus in Jesus' new reality. Peter, in his typically impetuous fashion, says, invites Jesus to wash him head to toe then, as we read earlier. This story isn't just about getting one's feet washed, though. This story is about humbly receiving all God has for us in vulnerability. And that's the problem with getting our feet washed. It requires vulnerability. And we don't like that very much. We listen to the foot washing story. We're tempted to say, well, look, there's Jesus, our incarnate God, bowing down to wash the disciples' feet. One of exalted status is emptying himself in service. But I'm not sure that that's altogether what's going on here, or that's exactly the way we should frame this story. There's the exalted God humbly bowing himself, placing himself down in a lowly status, as if God were becoming something other than divine to serve us, which God did not do. Jesus doesn't wash his disciples' feet in spite of the fact that he is our incarnate God. Jesus washes the disciples' feet because this is what God does. This is who God is. This is what God looks like. God offers God's self to us in sacrificial love and sacrificial service because this is the very essence of the nature of the God that we worship. And our job then is to receive his service to us vulnerably, with humility. Christians should be the most humble people on the face of the earth because we have confessed that we are broken and sinful and need God's forgiveness. We should be the most humble people on the face of the earth because of our story. Eastern Orthodox Christians, and I do love the church from the East, and I'll tell you that over the years as to why that is, but Eastern Orthodox Christians teach us, their spirituality teaches us that we become like that which we cast our gaze upon. Their spirituality, the spirituality of the ancient Eastern Church, is about casting their gaze upon God as they allow God to cast God's gaze upon them in a mutual moment of formation through mutual adoration. God casting God's gaze upon us, we casting our gaze upon God in mutual adoration. Tonight, we cast our gaze upon Jesus as he washes our feet. We do so to become like him who we cast our gaze upon. See, to gaze is to watchfully linger over the object of our desire. Tonight, the object of our desire is Jesus with basin and towel going around a table washing the dusty feet of his disciples, taking the role of a house servant. In the washing of feet, we are called to see through sacramental eyes the presence of our risen Lord among us tonight, washing our feet and offering us a template for a life well lived. Now remember, a few weeks ago, I said that a Christian is a person who is an apprentice in the way of Jesus. That's a Christian. A Christian is a person who is an apprentice in the way of Jesus, who's taken on the rabbinical yoke of Christ and is therefore by the Spirit of Christ within them living an empowered and enabled life in the way of Jesus, because you can't live in the way of Jesus without being empowered and enabled by Jesus' Spirit. But a Christian is a person who is an apprentice after the way of Jesus. What I'd like to say most bluntly is Christianity is not fire insurance. Christianity is the most beautiful way to live in this world. Amen. Amen. And that beauty is defined by the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. That's beauty for Christians. That's our aesthetic. Christ. As Jesus wraps the towel around his waist and takes a basin of water to wash the disciples' feet, he is taking on a role, as I said, of a common lowly house servant. It was an act of ordinary service rendered in extraordinary love. Thérèse of Lisieux, one of my favorite saints, taught her sisters to offer little things with great love. I love that phrase. Little things with great love. And that's what we endeavor to do tonight. To offer a little thing with great love. This ordinary act of service is not in spite of Jesus' status as our incarnate God, however, but because this is who God is. Our elder brother Paul reminds us, tells the church, he says, let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. Our God wants to give us a new definition for greatness continually. Our God wants to give us a Christ mind. The mind of one who would not use divinity as a means of exploitation, but would empty himself, pour himself out like a basin filled with water. Now you know and I know that we can gather here tonight, we can wash one another's feet, and we can leave here and live just as selfishly as we ever have. I get that. What that means, though, is that we simply do not know the God we claim to worship. That's what that means. We have cast our gaze upon other things. People, cultural heroes, political figures, entertainment, trifling pursuits to shape the persons we're becoming. Christians are people who cast their gaze upon Jesus as the means of their human transformation so as to become authentically human. Christians watch Jesus carefully. We watchfully gaze upon Christ. During Holy Week, we are offered images of God to cast our gaze upon. The Sunday we watched Jesus as he bumped into town on the back of a donkey into Jerusalem. This week we watched Jesus being enthroned on a cross. This week we watch our King being crowned with a crown of thorns. Tonight we watch as Jesus, our incarnate God, washes the disciples' feet, us. When you think about it, being a Christian is a rather peculiar thing. Loving our enemies, blessing those who would curse us, clothing the naked and expecting nothing in return, feeding the hungry and expecting nothing in return, following an ancient Near Eastern rabbi who we've yoked our life to, believing that he is, that his teachings just aren't authentic and wonderful, that, but he is actually alive and breathing life into us. Living in the way of Jesus is a peculiar thing. And the more we learn the way of Jesus, the more beautifully peculiar we become up against our host culture. So, we wash one another's feet tonight, and it is, I'll admit, a very peculiar practice, but perhaps it's just peculiar enough to be Christian. Amen. So here's what we're going to do.